Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth, on this 29th day of February, leap year.
Only once every 4 years.
Hallelujah.
But we're going to make the most of it.
Yeah, and you should make it count. Purpose in your heart, this
extra day.
Do something with it. And if you can't do it today because you work, do it tomorrow.
Well, you can do it when you work.
That's it.
All right.
Today's teaching's entitled Reasons and Ways to Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:16 Classic Amplified Bible. Let the words spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its riches, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. We can't think of a better way to go into the weekend than praising the Lord.
Yeah.
Or any other day.
Yep.
You know, one of our favorite songs is by Shirley Caesar. You know, we listen to her a lot, you know.
She's been around a long time, yeah, but she's an oldie but a goodie.
This joy that I have.
We love that.
The world didn't give it to me.
But there are several others that she's got.
I particularly like her song, Hold My Mule. If you've never heard it, you ought just have to go to YouTube and search for it. In the song, Shirley tells the story of Shouting John. Mm-hmm. There's a point where she starts singing. I like praising him,
I feel like praising him.
You go, Mama. Do it again.
I feel like praising him.
Praise him in the morning.
That's right. Praise him all day long. I feel like praising him.
If you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me.
That's right.
If you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all the day long. I feel like praising him.
Shouting John's about a guy who goes to church and they don't appreciate people who love the Lord and praise the Lord and shout to the Lord. Yep, and sing, get up and sing and raise their hands.
It's a great song.
But he tells them all the things he has to reason to praise the Lord. It's a really good song.
And praise, honey, is a proper action of a thankful heart.
That is it.
And when we consider the great things our God has done, we should praise him.
Amen.
Psalm 151, verse 1, in the New King James Version begins by saying, praise the Lord. Praise can take on a number of different forms. We praise the God he serves. We serve. We praise him with our vocal offerings. We praise him with musical instruments. We praise him through his ability of the preached word. In the midst of heavy thoughts, praise went forth and God was honored. There are two places where we should be praising the Lord.
Well, first is in the house of the Lord. Praise in Psalm 151. This is the rest part of Psalm 150, verse 1. In the New King James, it says, praise God in his sanctuary. So we want to say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Don't be disrupted. You know, disruptive at work, obviously, you're in a crowded environment. But the thing about it is you can praise the Lord inside anytime you want to. And that's kind of like what Shouting John was about. Praising God where you really should be, and that's in the sanctuary. Can you hear yourself speak and you can hear yourself talk? Then you can hear yourself under your breath saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. That he woke me up this morning.
Hallelujah.
Clothed me in the mind of Christ. I was able to get up and get out.
If you were able to
dress yourself,
then praise him.
That's right. If you're able to give yourself something, you got food in the kitchen and you can, eat breakfast.
Without help, then praise him. Are you able to drive yourself wherever you decide to go? If so, then praise him. If you answered yes to every one of those questions, it seems that that's a pretty good place to start praising God. Would you like to guess the other place we were to praise the Lord? Your war room. That's right. But that's not it. Riding in your car, yes, you praise him there, but that's not it. In good times and bad times, yes, but that's not it. Before we give you the second place where we should be praising the Lord, let us remind you that we praise him in the house of God.
Mm-mm.
See, the second place that we should be praising the Lord is, drum roll, every other place on earth. Last part of Psalm 150, verse 1, the Message Bible says, praise him under the open skies.
Mm-mm.
Praise him wherever you are, whatever you're doing. If you're on the job, your praise should be appropriate to your surroundings. You can be mentally, praising God.
And praising God, that's right, under your breath.
That's it. We could give you hundreds of reasons to praise our God, but we're only going to give you two.
First one, he has done great things.
Yes, he has.
In Psalm 150, verse 2, next verse, New King James Version says, praise him for his mighty acts. Sometimes on this journey through life, it can be easy to overlook the blessings that we already have. You know that, like breathing, like speaking, like seeing. But it's a huge mistake to not thank God for everything he does for us, everything he does. We need to have a thankful heart. You know why? Because God loves a thankful heart.
Yes, he does.
Those who choose to see every blessing are so thankful. And you know, when you start praising God for the things around you, you'll start seeing God in everything around you. And that is the truth.
Second, praise him for the greatness of his person. The last part of Psalm 150, verse 2, New King James Version, and in almost every other translation says, his excellent greatness.
Mighty acts and excellent greatness.
That's it. Let's consider 10 ways to praise our God. Number one, with the trumpet. Psalm 150, verse 3, first part, New King James. Praising with the sound of the trumpet. The word trumpet should be translated shofar. The shofar called Israel to congregational praise. The shofar was also called Israel to do warfare against its enemies. The shofar was used to call Israel at a time of spiritual warfare. You know, I had a good friend named Randy. He went to heaven a few years back. But he and his wife Laurel, when they came to our debt-free rallies, he always brought his shofar. And that was a blessing. You know, I love hearing Phil Driscoll play his trumpet.
It's been a long time, but we did very much enjoy it. Because every note glorified God.
That's it.
Number two, with the 10 stringed instruments. Psalm 150, verse 3. Continuing, New King James. Praise him with a lute. Do you know what a lute is? It says in one of the scriptures, it says, it brings a little bit more clarity. It says, praise him by strumming soft strings. So it's the stringed instruments. That's right. Number three, with a harp. That's another one, Psalm 150, continuing in verse 3, and harp. Traditionally, we used to associate the harp with worship, but it is a beautiful instrument in the hands of an accomplished musician.
Number four, with the tambourine, Psalm 50, now verse 4, and the New King James Version. Praise him with the thimble.
Timbrel. Yeah.
Thank you. Most translations correctly identify the timbrel as a tambourine. I have mixed emotions about tambourines and some services. I love the tambourine as a part of a rhythm and percussion section of the band, but I have to tell you that I find the motivation of some tambourine players to be interesting. I've been asked why those playing tambourines think such is okay. They routinely say that everybody should be free to worship the Lord. In principle, I agree with the concept of free praise, but it helps us to have rhythm so your praise is not disruptive to others.
Oh,
just being
just
honest.
Your own little personal thing.
That's it.
Number five, with the dance. Think of that. People go, why do people dance in church? Well, they use the scripture. Psalm 150, verse 4, New King James says, and dance. You know, we've been all over, Harold for sure, it's been all over the world. And we've been in hundreds, maybe even in our age, 1,000 church services. here yon, and everything's a little different, especially overseas. But the dance in some churches is glorious and done with great dignity and reverence for the Lord. Seeing praise offered with holiness and purity of purpose, well, it takes you to a happy place.
Yes, it does.
And the thing about it is when you're dancing in church, you do need to remember who you're dancing for.
Absolutely. Number six, with string instruments. Continuing in Psalm 150, verse 4, New King James. Praising with string instruments. I love Indian food. Frankly, I don't get to eat it often enough except on my trips to England. I'm not particularly fond of the sitar in Indian music, but that was until I read verse 6, which does the impossible. It sanctifies the sitar. Number 7, with flutes. Psalm 150, continuing in verse 4, the New King James. It says, and flutes. I enjoy flutes. So does God, and we should always follow his lead.
And with crashing loud cymbals. Now that reminds me of what I read about in King David. But Psalm 150, verse 5, New King James. Praise him with loud cymbals. Sometimes it's just time to shout and run around the place, I guess. That's what they're talking about, I guess. Because loud in H8088, you can look it up in the concordance, the Strong's Concordance. It comes from a root word meaning H8085, which means hear, listen, obey. Not exactly what we thought it would mean, but gives you something to think about. Number 9, with high-pitched cymbals. Psalm 150, verse 5 says, praise him with clashing cymbals. Few things stir me, perhaps, more than loud, high-pitched praises on cymbals. But King James Version says high-sounding cymbals. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for high-sounding cymbals means alarm, signal, sound of tempest, shout, or blast of war, or alarm, or joy.
Hallelujah. Number 10, with all the creative ability of mankind. Psalm 150, verse 6, New King James. That everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. You may note that we've had several methods of praise that perhaps didn't enjoy as much. But if you're breathing, praise should be flowing from you. We all have praise preferences.
A lot of times depends on where you were raised.
That's it.
And how you were raised.
See, style is not what matters. Praise is what counts.
Mm-hmm.
The last part of Psalm 150, verse 6, New King James says, praise the Lord.
That's the point.
That's where we start praising the Lord, and it's a great place to finish.
Praising the Lord. Start morning, noon, and night, we praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Praise Him for getting us up. Praise Him for having a good day, and praise Him for good, sweet sleep.
Yeah. And if you're feeling down, praise Him.
Yeah.
It'll pump you up.
We used to tell the kids, and sometimes I tell myself, if you don't feel like praising the Lord, that's when you really need it.
Amen. What was the story about when the kids were young and you were at the sink?
Yeah, and praising you were the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a cassette tape, if that tells you. They were little kids, though. It was one of my sweetest moments I can remember. I was doing dishes and I was looking out in the backyard across our table. We had a nice backyard. But behind me is where the cassette tape was, came in from the dining room. And I was praising the Lord and kind of juking along, washing dishes. I turn around and all three of my little babies are over there with their hands raised, dancing around, praising God. That was a moment to cherish the rest of my life.
Amen. Well, cherish all this.
Yes.
Praise Him today.
Amen.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.